More than 250 aftershocks have followed the magnitude 7.5 earthquake that hit southeast Alaska on January 5th. About 20 of those registered at a magnitude 4.0 or greater. Natasha Rupert is the Seismic Network Manager at the Alaska Earthquake Information Center in Fairbanks, and she says those aftershocks are just the ones the center's land-based equipment can detect. There probably have been many, many more, and they likely will continue for a while.
Well, we've done some calculations, and based on a rate of seismicity before January earthquake, it will take about at least 3 years for an aftershock sequence to reach the previous background levels.
The Queen Charlotte Fault has produced several major earthquakes in the past 100 years. The largest known tremor on that fault is a magnitude 8.1 that hit in 1949. Rupert says that one started in British Columbia and stretched 300 miles into southeast Alaska.
And that earthquake produced a very strong shaking. People had a very hard time even standing on their feet in British Columbian southeast settlements.
The Queen Charlotte Fault marks the boundary between two tectonic plates, the Pacific Plate to the southwest and the North American Plate to the northeast. The fault runs up the side of Haida Gwaii in British Columbia and along the outer coast of southeast Alaska all the way to Yakutat. Another large earthquake hit along that fault in 1972. That magnitude 7.6 tremor's epicenter was closer to Sitka. A much earlier one hit in that same area in 1927, measured at about magnitude 7. But that was too early for seismographic measuring tools to provide much information. Rupert says none of the earthquakes in the past 100 years has produced much of a tsunami wave. That's because of the nature of the fault, which is a strike-slip fault. And what exactly does that mean?
One side of the fault moves basically horizontally with respect to the other side of the fault. To produce a tsunami, you need a strong vertical motion of the seafloor, horizontal displacements of the seafloor, like in this earthquake on Queen Charlotte Fault. They don't produce large tsunamis. They do produce some water disturbances, of course, but those are insignificant.
That's good news for southeast Alaska, but it doesn't mean the region is completely safe from the threat of tsunamis. Large waves and tidal surges still are possible from secondary sources, such as landslides, underwater or on land.
And this was actually illustrated in, I think it was 1958, earthquake on Fairweather Fault, and there was a huge tsunami in Lituya Bay, and this is exactly how it was caused. Strong ground shaking caused the whole flank of the mountain to collapse into the lake, and that caused a tsunami.
However, Rupert says those are unlikely in southeast Alaska. The January 5th tremor followed close on the heels of a magnitude 7.7 earthquake that hit off Haida Gwaii in late October. Rupert says it's common for large shocks to occur within months of each other, and more earthquakes will happen.
Because it's an active fault, the plates keep moving and the stresses keep accumulating, and eventually the stresses will be released in earthquakes. The major earthquakes, of course, are not as frequent like magnitude 8, but looking at the past history of magnitude 7 range earthquakes, every couple of decades there is a magnitude 7 earthquake along somewhere along the Queen Charlotte Fault system.
But when the next main shock will hit is not possible to predict. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.